Hey, hey. Good morning, Life Church. How's it going this morning? Y'all look beautiful. And there's no rain. Was there rain when you came in? There's no rain right now, right? It's all done. Okay, that's good. But guess what? It's summertime again. That's right. That's why I'm glistening. Not really in here, because in here it feels a little bit like a refrigerator. But so you might want to bring a coat or a cover up on Sundays. So I am the next pinch hitter up in the Born to Rule series about the Holy Spirit. So last week, Tim talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And today, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the title of my message. It's just as if I were going to be talking to you out on the sidewalk somewhere. The Holy Spirit is in you, and He wants out. You must set Him free. The Holy Spirit is in you and He wants out. Now, Tim gave me this topic because he knows that it's the one topic that revolutionized my walk with Jesus. It changed everything for me. Everything. And so I'm very, very excited about this morning. I have a question for all of us before I get started. And it is, are you walking right now in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for everyone who even made the effort to get here today, Lord, the focus, the energy, the time. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you for the Logos. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation that comes through your written word. We thank you, Lord, that you want the more for us, that you always want us to be better and to get better. And Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you that our praise really is a highway that builds a place to where you are. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray this morning for Tim. God, I ask that you would anoint him. I pray that he would have fun where he is this morning, that he'd make great memories. But God, I pray that the Holy Spirit is there and it drives the kingdom of God forward in that place in Tampa, Florida. Lord, I also pray for myself. I pray that you would anoint my words today. I pray that anything born of my flesh would fall by the wayside and die, but whatever is born of your spirit, that it would come forth and that it would bear fruit and it would be fruit that remains. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So Tim answered the first part of our question last week. Are you walking in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? You know you are walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit because he's inside you once we become believers. He indwells us. He's inside of you and me. So yes, we have that part, right? The power part, though, is a whole other question entirely. And we're going to find out why today. Now, growing up, I was raised in a denominational church. Some of you may not know this. You may have no idea what I'm even talking about right now. But you're not in a denominational church this morning. You're in a spirit-filled church. You're in a full gospel church. You're in a church that believes all of the Bible. That's why you remember the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association? It's because they believed everything in the Bible. That's what that word means, full gospel. You may not even realize that. And so I was raised in a denominational church until I was about in my mid-teens. And, you know, we just didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Nobody ever talked about him. They would say the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they talked a lot about the Father. And we talked all the time about Jesus. But we never talked about the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like that weird uncle, you know, in your family. It's kind of a little bit creepy, or, you know, where you're just like, we're not sure. If we bring him out, I'm not real sure what he's going to do. Because he's kind of weird. And so he just might get really weird. And that we just weren't sure, you know. So I was like, oh, you know, I didn't know that about the Holy Spirit, that, you know, things might get weird with the whole. I didn't understand any of that. I didn't know any of that. But when I was 18 to 19 years old, I began attending a different church. And this church was like our church. It was a spirit-filled church that believed all the Bible. So I began to hear teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that I could actually walk in and have. And I began to think, well, I began to become very aware, as many of you also are aware, that this issue and this subject of the Holy Spirit, it is touchy. like in Christian America, not usually in nations away from America, other nations. Usually if you tell someone you're an evangelical Christian, they assume you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in America, there's divide, 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 divide a little bit more, and then we'll divide it again. And so I became aware this is really divisive. Not everybody believes this. That's why I didn't learn about it growing up. But then I thought, isn't the Holy Spirit like a third of the entire Trinity? And we're going to ignore him? Because some people have made it weird. How many of you know it doesn't have to be weird? No, but today, nobody in here is going to be glowing in the dark. Nobody's head's going to spin around, pop off. Nothing weird is going to happen, I promise. It doesn't have to be weird. But if he is real, and if he is a third of the Trinity, then what is his purpose? What does he actually do? What is the purpose? Because I already have a Father, right? I have a Heavenly Father. I have a Savior. I have Jesus, the one who died for me, that saved me from my sins and has given me an opportunity to be forever united with my Heavenly Father. Do I need anything more? Yes. If you want to live your life on this earth and have any power in your life as a Christian to bring heaven to earth, you're going to have to know how to access this. You're going to have to know how to do it. You may never have been taught this until today, but I want to call your spirit man and your spirit woman to attention today, because God wants to do something today inside of you, just like he did inside of me years ago. We need to have victory in this world, and in order to do it, we have to access the Holy Spirit. So I want us to go to Acts 1, back where Tim started last week. We're going to read verses 5 through 8. For John baptized with water. Okay, here's one baptism. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Another baptism. That word but means here we go. We got something else we're adding to this. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power. I want you to say power. Power. When the Holy Spirit has come, not in you, upon you. And you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. These were one account of Jesus' last words. Now, I found this graphic. I thought it was awesome about last words. And it says that Jesus' last words should be our first priority. How many of you agree with that? Yes, me too. So back to this, and you shall receive power. The Greek word for power is the word dunamis. It's the exact same word where we get our English word dynamite from. Dunamis. The definition of it is power, ability, capability. The lexicon says it is miracles coming out of the mighty power of God inherent to Christ, and which power was lent to his witnesses and his ambassadors. Is that you and me? Yes, we are his ambassadors. Strange, marvelous, terrifying signs and works. That's what power means. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of power. I want that kind of power. Years ago, a little over 26 years ago now, I had my first baby. Little Eli. He's not here today. He's with his dad traveling. But when I had this baby, I became aware all of a sudden that I was really weak and not very powerful. Now, I had spent my whole childhood growing up not feeling powerful and felt very out of control of everything. And I was kind of one of those people that was like, I tell you what, when I ever get the chance to control anything in my life, I'm going to have this thing nailed down. Well, here I have this baby, and I'm just like walking around like a zombie, kind of like, what has just happened to me? And you know, everybody's helping me. They're helping me learn how to nurse and change his diaper. And and give him a bath, and everybody's helping me, and they're all there helping me, and I'm thinking, oh, I feel so weak. I feel so weak. I hate this weakness. I hate this. I've come now to learn that my personality, how many of you know the Enneagram? One of the weaknesses of my personality type is that it literally says, I can smell your weakness. So I was smelling my own weakness. So I was like, ooh, I do not like this feeling. So after the first week, Tim stayed home with me for a week. Then he went back to work. And I'm standing in the door of the house on Mulberry Street in Clyde, North Carolina. I'm standing there with this little baby, and I'm thinking, oh, please don't pull out the driveway. And I'm crying. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know how to take care of him. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. So I remember looking at Eli, and I said, all right, it's you and me, babe. This is literally, I'm gonna figure out how to take care of you. The Lord's going to help me. And by the end of that week, I thought, I am not sitting in this house another day. I am so tired of this. Like, I absolutely have no power. So I figured out how to put him in the car seat, how to put the car seat in the car, made me a grocery list. I'm like, I'm going to the grocery store. I am going to go get the groceries. I'm going to do my normal stuff, and it's going to be fine. So I get there, and you know, the big backpack, you know, the baby bag. I mean, I was only going like a mile and a half down the road. It looked like we could go camping for like 2 weeks. I mean, I am ready. I've got everything that you would ever need in case of an emergency with a 1 week old or 10 days old, however old he was. So I get there, I get my groceries, and you know, when you get the seat on the cart, there's not much more room to get a lot of groceries, but I got a few things, and I get back home. I take the baby inside, I unload the groceries, I get the groceries put away, I put the baby in the bed, and I want to tell you what, I walked in the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you are dang superwoman. You can do anything. I mean, all of a sudden, I was like, yes, I am woman, hear me roar. I am not sitting in this house anymore being weak and cannot even figure out how to get up on my feet. I hated it. I hated that. So I want this kind of power in my Christian walk. I want this, and you want it too. So let's take a look at dynamite. It was invented by this Swedish chemist named Alfred Nobel. His name probably sounds familiar to you. And he patented dynamite in 1867. Now, this is what dynamite did. It revolutionized processes in construction, demolition, and mining. In our Christian walk, we construct things, we demolish strongholds, and we mine out the truths of the Word of God, right? Then it says, by the use of dynamite, we can now clear rocky and uneven surfaces and use those clearings to build on. Awesome. So I have a couple points under dynamite. The first one is you cannot build anything without power. Nothing. Now, you may do it yourself, and you may have the hammer or the screwdriver, but I'm telling you what, you still have to have power to put the nail through the wood. How many of you know contractors and construction people, they're smart because they use what kind of tools? Power tools, dunamis tools. That's what they use in order to build. You can't build anything without power. Power that can clear out anything in its way in order to have a clean surface with which to build on. Now, when I was growing up in the mountains, I know that's a shocker to y'all that I'm from the mountains, but I would be riding in the car with my mom, and we would be going through these roads, these highways, and I can remember sitting in the car and looking out the window at this huge mountain beside of me of rock. And I could see on the rock the stripes, they were like white kind of in color, where the dynamite had been loaded down into the mountain. They had set off the dynamite, and what had happened? It cleared a road. I was on the road that it cleared. It was awesome. I loved it. So they're used to create roads. Some of you have mountains in your life that you need a little bit of dunamis in order to set that thing off, blow it up, so that you have a clear and even space with which to move forward on and do your life on. Dynamite also changed the way we went to war and the way we conducted war. It allowed soldiers to control this large spatial range of area and attack. So the second point about dynamite is you can never, ever wage war against the enemy without having power. Never. You can't. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. Have you had things killed in your life? I have. Dreams, wishes, all kinds of stuff. Have you had things stolen from you? I have too. Have you had parts of your life that seem like they were destroyed? Me too. Most everybody has. And when we have those things happen, the calling card left behind always says, Satan, your enemy. It is always the enemy who does that to us. And if we are ever going to defeat him, and not just defeat him, but take the game to a whole new level, we got to have power. We got to have this power. You cannot win without power. Okay, here are some other last words of Jesus. They're over in Mark 16. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Mark 16, verses 14 through 19. I should have had it marked, but I don't. Sorry. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. What's afterward? After the crucifixion and the resurrection. So he's alive. He's not dead anymore. And he reproached them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs, say signs, will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession night and day for you and I. He's not here. He left us the Holy Spirit to be our helper and our guide on the earth until we're reunited with him and he returns for us. Everybody's like, wow, I thought Jesus was everywhere. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We know where he is. The Bible tells us where he is. So look at verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Is that going to require power? Yes. Planes, trains, automobiles, camels, donkeys, horses, whatever, in the natural. But how many of you know it's going to require supernatural, spiritual power in order to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, right? Yes. Look at verse 17. That's where I had you repeat after me. And these signs shall accompany them who believe. That word signs is the word semeion. It will not be on the screen. It is used in the exact same text in the Greek language as the word dunamis. It means a miracle with an ethical end, leading someone out of and beyond themselves. Isn't that beautiful? The finger post of God. Also in verse 17, we see this part. They will cast out demons. Yikes, right? Everybody's like, yeah, I'm out. The next part, they will speak with new tongues. Double yikes. Everybody's like, whoa, you lost me. I'm done. They will pick up deadly serpents or poison. It won't harm them. They will lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Everybody likes that one, right? But you know what the issue is? We don't get to pick and choose. These signs, these four things will follow those who believe. Yeah. In the 19, verse 19, we see Jesus goes immediately to heaven. How many of you agree that both of these last words of Jesus, these instructions, must be important? Yeah. By a show of hands. Yeah. How many of you agree that both of these last words of his is going to require some power? Yes, big time. Now, remember my initial question. Are you walking in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? One of the best ways to know is to look at these four areas. Are you setting people free from demonic strongholds and patterns in their life? Jesus did. The apostles did. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Harriet, how in the world am I supposed to set people free from demonic strongholds? When your friend comes to you and says these words, I am terrified about this situation in my marriage. You say immediately, in the name of Jesus, I cut you free from fear in Jesus' name. And I say that has no part in you. And I release over you courage, a sound mind, no intimidation, wisdom to know what to do and how to move forward. That is how you set people free from demonic patterns and strongholds in their life. You don't have to get weird. You don't have to be glowing in the dark or doing anything weird. That's all you do. You go, hey, guess what? I got the answer for you. Because fear is a demonic spirit. There's a whole bunch of them. What else? Are you speaking with a new heavenly language? This is the one that about sends everybody like off the deep end. This is the one right here. But after the Holy Spirit showed up in the upper room at Pentecost, all of the apostles did. And if they did, we should. Let's go back to Acts. We're going to get Acts 2. I just think the Bible has so much better words than I have. It just says it so much better. Verses 4 through 12. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now listen to this story. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because they were each one hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, Why are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each one of them in our own language to which we were born, we're hearing them speak in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both the Jews and the proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Of the mighty deeds of God. The first thing the Holy Spirit did when he came upon them was he changed their language and gave them a new language. He did. It was truly a miraculous sign and wonder, as you can see from the text. Notice that these signs is for the betterment of other people. Not us personally. It's for the glorifying of God. It's for the kingdom of God to be built and driven forward in the earth. And this new gift of tongues brought unity to the believers. Now, isn't that a far cry from where we are today? It is the most divisive topic in Christian churches in America. The issue of tongues. But we see here by the word of God that when it was initially given as a gift, that it was used to bring unity to the people, not to divide them. Have you ever touched anything deadly and it not harm you? Some of you may have been in a car accident that you walked away from and went, I don't know how I got out of that alive. I have something called celiac disease. And I was diagnosed probably 8 years ago with it. And that means that to my body, gluten is a poison. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm on some kind of no-grain diet and I would just prefer not to eat it because it makes me bloated. It means that to my body, it's like poison. But I will tell you, I have had gluten several times unknowingly, and it did not hurt me. It did not make me react or respond. Why? Because of this. I touched something, drank something deadly, poisonous, ate it, and it did not harm me. Have you ever laid hands on the sick and watched them recover? I have done that too, and I really like it. If you ever, ever get to do it, it's a lot of fun when God uses you in that way. Well, Harriet, how in the world do you know that God wants to heal them? I'm so happy you asked. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 15, verses 30 and 31. I should probably also have brought my glasses, but that's another story. Okay, Verse 30, and great multitudes came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, who were crippled, who were blind, dumb, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. That's what my Bible says. I bet your Bible says it too. So that the multitude marveled as they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and here it is again, and they glorified the God of Israel, and they glorified him. Let's go back to Matthew 9. Verses 35 and 36. And Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Now let's go over to Matthew 10 and look at verse 1. It's on the screen. This one's in the Amplified Version. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority and power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. This is the Logos. This is the Word of God. This is not my opinion. This is what the Word of God says, that Jesus gave them power over all of it. All of it. All of it. I have seen and I have experienced this too. But I really want to see more. I want to see more. If the apostles experienced it, I think we should too. How can I say that so confidently? Let's look at John 14. John 14, 12. In this text, Jesus makes a staggering statement. He says, truly, truly, he said it twice. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do shall he do also. That's big, y'all. That's the dead raised. Anybody in here been raising dead people? Because for me, I'm just going to be honest with you, that's where it gets a little shaky for me. I'm like, I've seen a lot of other things. I hadn't seen that yet. Then it goes on to say, and greater works. This is Jesus. It's in red letters in my Bible. And greater works than these shall he do because I go to the Father. Remember, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But because he's left the Holy Spirit here with us, we got enough power to do this. But we don't really know it. But we do. These works and greater, that's for us. So even if we've been experiencing some of what the apostles did, there is a call to operate in the greater. As the people of God, we've been called to this kind of power. Why is that? Because the same Jesus, or the same Spirit that anointed Jesus, is now sitting upon you and I. I heard Pastor Bill Johnson say one time, the Holy Spirit is in me for my sake. Just like what Tim said last week, the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the presence is inside of me when I became a believer. But the Holy Spirit is on me for your sake and for the world around me and the atmosphere around me. How else am I going to get heaven to earth? Yeah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Wilmington, even as it is in heaven. We got to have power for that. We got to have dunamis for that to happen. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, as Tim spoke last week about it, is beautiful. He is our helper. He's our God. He's our advocate. He's our friend. When Tim and I first got married, and he would leave every day with a little beeper. He had a little beeper. We didn't have any cell phones. And he would leave, and he drove all over the western part of North Carolina out for his job. And I would pray as he left, Holy Spirit, be Tim's friend today. Go with him and be his friend today. He's our leader. He's our teacher. He's the one that convicts us of sin. Let me tell you something. We live in a culture now that won't even talk about sin. We won't even use the word sin anymore. We are the first generation to live in a post-Christian America since its inception. I'm going to tell you, it's a situation when we stop calling things sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. But the Holy Spirit that's on us is for the help of others. It's to bring glory to God, and it's to build the kingdom of God here on earth. So let me ask you a question. Does your Christian life and your Christian walk look like what you want it to? See, for me, I had been saved for years, and I just couldn't get the Christian thing right. I could never get it right. I'd been saved since I was 9, and I tried so hard to be a good girl. But I didn't have the power. I didn't know how to access it in my life until I was older. Or do you feel like your life is quite fragmented, maybe even like frustrating to you at times, your walk with Jesus? This is frustrating to me. I come in here and we sing all these songs and we talk about all this life-giving stuff, and then I go home to my 123 address and everything's the same. The cycles are all the same, all the same problems. We're circling the drain again this year. Everything's the same as it was last year. Are you experiencing victory and breakthrough where you most want to see it? Yeah. Accessing the Holy Spirit is key. It is key for this change in your life. Now, it may sound strange to say this, but the truth is that power, dunamis, actually brings peace in the end. It does. It sounds very strange, but I want you to think about it. Think about when, every time there's a war, power is used, right? What is the end result? Peace. Peace is what we're all wanting. Even if war has to happen, we all desire peace. Who is the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace? Jesus. Do you know that word peace is a Hebrew word, shalom? And it means nothing is broken and nothing is missing. That's what it means. It doesn't just mean, that is not what it means. It means that you can look at your life and go, nothing is broken and nothing is missing in Jesus' name. That's what peace is. And sometimes you have to have power in order to get to peace. You can't get there any other way. Jesus, he wants us to have peace. So we have this inventor of dynamite, remember, back from the beginning, Alfred Nobel. He made millions of dollars off of his invention on the consumer market. And near his death, his will was to donate the rest of his wealth, that was a lot, to form an international prize rightfully named the Nobel Prizes. Now, these prizes are still given today in top discoveries, in physics, in chemistry, in literature, in medicine, and in peace. It's almost as if he knew that the way to absolute peace was through power. Today can be a completely new day for you. It can be a moment in your life where you literally go, things were like this, and this happened, and now they're like this. Because I will tell you, that's what happened to me when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was in college, and I absolutely, my whole life changed. I had been this intimidated, never wanted to share my faith, nothing. When I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now remember, I've been saved since I was 9. I drove to campus, went straight to the athletic department, said, here's my pom-poms. I was a college cheerleader. I was like, I'm not going to be cheering anymore. I'm desistering from my sorority. I didn't want those ties in my life anymore. And I began that day to plaster scripture all over my dorm room walls. And I'm telling you what, people were like, girlfriend has gone. She drank all the Kool-Aid. There's none left for anybody else because she drank it all. And my life was changed instantly like that. Immediately. Some of you, you may even be mad that you're sitting there today going, why was I never taught this? Why did I not know about this power that I can have from Jesus? Why did I not know about that? Why was that hidden from me all this time? Some of you sitting in here may go, I know about the Holy Spirit. And there was a time when I walked in a fresh place with Him. But that time has been long past now. So what I'm going to ask you to do, it is, listen to me, it's going to require you to be courageous and to be bold. But guess what? This kind of power is worth it. It's worth it. When you lay hands on the sick and they recover, it's worth it. When you see someone that was addicted and you break the chains of addiction off them in the name of Jesus, Jody, and you see them go free, it's worth it, isn't it? If you want, I'm going to pray a prayer of activation today. But you have to do something. You have to stand to your feet and you have to come right down here. Everyone that wants a change in your life today, I want you to come up. You could not fit any more people up here during first service. If you want your life to be marked by supernatural signs and wonders, I want you to get on your feet and come down here. Because there's more for you. There are greater works for you. Come now. Pastor Bill Johnson has a statement, and he says the Holy Spirit is in us as a river, not a lake. Rivers of living water should be coming out of us and affecting everything around us. And let me tell you something, rivers, they alter the geography of the land that they flow over. Remember last year's hurricane? Every river, every tributary, every creek ran over its bed. And the towns didn't even look the same. Your life is not even going to look the same when this Holy Spirit that's in you gets out. Amen. Father God, I thank you for every person that's in here today. I thank you, Lord, for every family that is represented. I thank you for these men and women and boys and girls. I ask God that you would do something in our midst today. I ask God that where there has once been a place of intimidation and fear, that it would be broken off in Jesus' name. Where there has been disunity, where there has been a divisive spirit, we cut that off of us in the name of Jesus. We speak over ourselves a spirit of unity in the name of Jesus. God, I pray the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit would come now and rest on every single one of these people today. I pray that from this moment on, that they would be able to say, that Sunday in that gymnasium has marked me, and I have never been the same since then. All of a sudden, I can share my faith without being afraid. All of a sudden, I can pray for the sick and see them be healed. All of a sudden, I have a new language. Lord, I ask that you would bless and meet with each one of these. You know them. You are intimately acquainted and know every hair on every head here in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can pray and press in and believe for Wilmington to be a cancer-free city in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would bring things into alignment, heavenly alignment, that we could see with your eyes, that you would give us revelation to know what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're showing us. And Father, we ask that as we go today, that there be a new fire inside of us, that it would almost be as if dynamite has been set off in Jesus' name. And all of God's people in agreement said, amen, amen, yes. You can go back to your seat. Wow. I'll tell you something, that takes courage. It takes boldness to stand up and actually get your feet to do something, but God will reward you for that. He will reward you for it. And you will be just like me. You're going to have testimonies of how you have seen the power and the presence of God change your life. Amen.